A new film having its Kentucky premiere this week touches on themes that are very much in the forefront today. Issues like marriage equality, family values, cultural diversity, interracial relationships, and the efforts of churches and religion to remain relevant in a changing society.
You've had your nose stuck in the Bible for the last few months. You done?
Almost. I had to take a break. Revelation scares the dickens out of me.
On this week's Eastern Standard, we'll focus on the film A Very Sordid Wedding and the issues of diversity in arts and culture that it raises. We have with us folks behind the film and a few other similar projects, the church bringing the film to Lexington and a local poet and visual artist. Write to us now at WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKU EST. Post on Facebook or the website. In a few minutes, we'll open the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard, right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen. This week, something very different from what we do most weeks, very much tied to the annual observance of LGBTQ Pride during the month of June and Lexington's Pride Festival this weekend. A local church is the sponsor of a screening of the film A Very Sordid Wedding, and we have with us some of the folks who've made that film possible. Let me first of all, and I'll have to do this a couple of times during the show, disclaim the fact that I'm a member of that church, the Bluegrass United Church of Christ, so please be aware of that fact. We're going to use this occasion of this program today to broaden the topic a bit into the concept of diversity in arts and culture. And in the studio with us today, Del Shores, writer, director, and creator of A Very Sordid Wedding, as well as Sordid Lives, I guess the TV series Sordid Lives, the film Southern Baptist Sissies, a native of Texas, and actually the son of a Southern Baptist preacher, Del Shores. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Oh, it's good to be here.
Thrilled to be able to welcome you to the studio. Also with us, Emerson Collins. And for those who see the film A Very Sordid Wedding, Emerson is a very prominent character in the film known as the Hitchhiker Killer, as well as other talent performances, your participation on the Bravo series, The People's Couch.
Yep.
And other performing credits, as well as a producer for projects such as A Very Sordid Wedding, Sordid Lives, and other projects.
Absolutely. You know, I figure as an actor, if you produce the work, you get to be in it, right?
Well, thanks so much for doing both.
Truly, our pleasure.
Also with us, Jay McCoy, and Jay is a local guest. Jay is Lexington-based poet, visual artist with deep roots in Eastern Kentucky, currently filling his days as contract editor, writing instructor, and he's a partner in the new effort, Briar Books. Jay was general manager of Morris Books in Lexington for how many years?
I was general manager for about 5 years there.
All right. Yeah. Well, Jay, thank you for being with us. Let me turn first to, and well, let me tell our listeners, this is an interactive show, and we hope to hear from you with your questions, your comments, your personal stories during the program. And we also will have another guest. We'll be talking to Deb Kaur, who is an elder at Bluegrass United Church of Christ, in just a few minutes. But our show is interactive, so we ask you to let us know if you have questions, comments, or stories. Write to us by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at WEKU EST, or pick up the phone and call 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. This whole Sordid Lives or Very Sordid Wedding thing may be unfamiliar to a lot of our listeners, so if you have questions about it, please jump on board and let us know. So, Del, tell us the story of the whole Sordid Lives series and now culminating in A Very Sordid Wedding.
Well, it's been a great gift to me as an artist. I wrote a play in 1996 that premiered in Los Angeles, ran for 13 months, and watching that play one night and being told by my good friend Beau Bridges, who had worked with me in my movie Daddy's Dying, Who's Got the Will, he said, you know, I want to be in that I want to, he basically said, I want to wear that black bra. And so he did, and we made the movie, the original movie, based on that play. It became this cult crazy thing, and that was in 2000. In 2008, the series, a 12-episode series, premiered on Logo and was hugely successful, and we're returning to the franchise with A Very Sordid Wedding, and it's going really, really well. This will be our about 18th city to premiere Emerson, something
yeah.
like that.
And this is the Kentucky premiere.
This is the Kentucky premiere. It sure is. And I hear we got a packed house tonight, so thank you, Kentucky.
The film and this whole series is LGBT-themed, and a lot has changed over the 21 years, I guess, this whole franchise has been underway. I understand, Del, that you were in the midst of production or of writing of A Very Sordid Wedding when the Supreme Court decision of 2015 authorizing same-sex marriage came out.
Yeah, Emerson and I have a company called Beard Collins Shores Productions, and this was our second film that we greenlit with our company. And I didn't want to return to the Sordid franchise without something fresh and different. And so I thought, well, everybody wants to know what happened to these characters. And there's so much has happened in for equality and in gay rights since the first one. And I thought, well, how did this affect the people, the denizens of Winters, Texas? And that was the beginning. And I unlocked the script. I was able to write the script. And this was when all of us were thinking, well, it's just going to be state by state, you know? And so one of the characters and his husband were going state by state as they came in and were getting married. And then right in the middle of us raising the money, the script was done, the Supreme Court decision came in, and Emerson said, we have to acknowledge it. So I gladly did a rewrite, advance the story by 1 year.
And it's a major theme, a major part of the film.
It just became, you know, I always say there's a key that sort of unlocks the material, the script, the characters, and that was truly a key, you know.
Well, and it allows, you know, the original, for those not familiar, was essentially the story of a gay man in California going back to Texas and coming out to his eccentric, is probably the word, Texas family. And when you think about where that was in the history of our culture, he wrote the play in 96. Well, it wasn't until 97 that Ellen came out. And so the film was in 2000 in the very early days of coming out films and coming out stories. And here we are returning to the franchise, 17 years later, right after Marriage Equality. And it allowed us to really examine the sort of backlash that occurred that we saw in lots of places that you actually were at the center of here in Kentucky, that religious freedom, in quotes, is how I would need to put that phrase, the sort of fear of a particular kind of bigot that somehow equality for LGBTQ people was going to threaten their personal deeply held religious beliefs. And so that aspect of the film is really continuously relevant as we continue to see that happen around the country.
Emerson, lay out for me the characters that folks who may have never seen any of these films or this series, who they would encounter if they happened to see this film, A Very Sordid Wedding. I know you play a role in the film. Were you in the original Sordid line?
I was not. The original precedes my time.
A child.
With Dells. I was not. I was like,
really,
I'm not as young as
ago.
I look. but it's a fantastic family. And really, you should do the main characters you should do because they're all based on family members.
Based
inspired.
On your family
they
members,
are. He called them eccentric. And when the first review that came in for Sordid Lives, it started describing my mother's family, my family, as eccentric. I thought, oh, I thought we were just kind of normal in Texas, you know. We're not that eccentric for us, but for the world we are. But you know, the core of the franchise is, I believe, and is the relationship between Latrell and Ty, the gay boy, and his mother back home. And that was really based on my mom and my relationship and me coming out. And so what I really wanted to do with this, and of course her Aunt Sissy, and then the cool Aunt Lavonda, who Ann Walker deliciously plays and will be with us tonight. She's on tour with us right now. But
what about Brother Boy?
Brother Boy, that's their brother who had been, I mean, this is how tragic, and, you know, it's sort of a tragicomedy, but his life he was put away for being gay and dressing up like a woman and in a mental institution for 23 years. Now he's
is that element biographical from your family?
No, that truly was just my twisted imagination and going to a little bit of conversion therapy myself and wanting to you know address. You know, I have to acknowledge I have such a foul mouth, and I know we have to be clean. My mind's going, and I'm censoring just a little bit. You know, it was a big, you know, to conversion therapy. I was mad at conversion therapy, so that was my response by writing Brother Boy and my amazing relationship with crazy and beautiful Leslie Jordan, who performs that role to perfection.
You mentioned Beau Bridges.
Beau Bridges was in the original. He's not in this movie. He wasn't able to do the series because it was the movie, then the series, and then David Steen replaced him in the series. And David Steen is in this movie. But what I really wanted to do also, besides, I mean, because we sit and we yell and scream sometimes from the outside at some of those people. And I, by the way, I just wanted to say thank you, Kim Davis, for giving me somebody to write about. And that sometimes those are gifts. And wanted to publicly invite her to the screening tonight as my guest. So I'm hoping.
Is Kim Davis somehow referenced in the film?
Well, it is alluded to, and there is one particular extra in the film that might be slightly inspired.
That we every time it's going to be wonderful in Kentucky when we get a shot of the county clerk, and she is her clone. So we wanted to invite Kim to see what she inspired in a good way. There was some good stuff, but what I wanted to show is I wanted to show that there's an evolution going on for people who see our faces, who know us, who get to know our hearts and soul as LGBTQ. We are present, and there is an evolution going on. So you see that in the characters of Latrell and Sissy in this movie, especially. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, it was really important to us, you know, it's because while we continue to fight bigotry as it applies to the equality, particularly for trans people, that we also acknowledge the evolution that's occurring for many people of faith. I always found it striking that 48% of LGBTQ people identify as people of faith. And so those people are working really hard to find church homes. It's why the screening is so exciting for us tonight, to have Bluegrass be a church that is clearly a welcoming faith home for LGBTQ people. That's something that we really want to acknowledge and support at the same time as we continue to call out the bigotry of a particular kind of dogmatic religious person.
That's one of the places we want to go in this program. We are going to get to Jay McCoy eventually here to talk about some wider issues of arts and culture, diversity in arts and culture. But in the next segment of the show, we're also going to meet Deb Kaur, an elder from Bluegrass United Church of Christ. We're interested in listener comments, your questions, your stories. How have you seen the Sordid Lives series? You have not seen, I would imagine, A Very Sordid Wedding, because it's premiering in Kentucky this evening and has been very limited in its availability for screening until this time. But what are your questions about it? What are your observations about it? What are the issues that this brings up for you as we talk about religion and politics, the Supreme Court decision of just 2 years ago? Eastern Standard is our program. The email address is wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. And our Twitter account is @WEKUEST. Pick up the phone and give us a call, 800-621-8890. Del Shores, Emerson Collins, Jay McCoy, and Deb Kaur, whom we're going to meet in just a few moments, are our guests for this week's program. 800-621-8890. That email address again, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com.
Of those high, lusty, sordid lives they lack. Ain't it a bitch?
Sordid
lad, I sold it lack.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. I'm John Hingsberg, and we're talking about the Kentucky premiere of the film A Very Sordid Wedding and the issues that this film and others related to it bring up in terms of stretching the boundaries of diversity here in Kentucky and in the U.S. With us in the studio, Del Shores, writer, director, creator of the Sordid Lives series, Emerson Collins, actor, producer for the series. Jay McCoy of Lexington, the Lexington-based poet and visual artist, is with us in the studio, but we're now also welcoming Dr. Deborah Corr, retired English professor from Eastern Kentucky University with a master's in religion and an elder at Bluegrass United Church of Christ. Deb, thanks for being here with us.
Yes, thank you, John.
I want to go another direction here. I want to talk a little bit about the religious aspects. Del, you're again a son of a Southern Baptist preacher. Emerson, your religious background?
I am the son of a Southern Baptist music minister and graduated from Baylor.
And so, you know, you folks are, you come from families of faith and religion. Is this series of films and the work that you're doing, are you, do you consider yourselves anti-religious or against the church in some fashion? Or what's the connection to religion? Again, a church is sponsoring the screening of the film here.
Which I love, and we have several that are embracing this film, which, you know, given the content, at times the language, I was a little surprised, but loving that because the message truly is about love, acceptance, and understanding. And, you know, we were talking in the car coming over here about compassion, and we were all taught that in the church. So I embrace a lot of aspects of the church and that I was taught, but in that there's a lot that, you know, I had to have, I had to say something about, and to defend myself, to defend my LGBTQ audience and friends, and point out a lot of the hypocrisy that goes on with selective cherry picking of scriptures.
Yeah, I'm not in any way anti-religious. I think many people find a belief system that helps guide them through life, and I think that's an amazing thing. I think that my frustration and what we focus on here, and particularly with our last project, Southern Baptist Sissies, is when it skips over the love part of the witness and focuses on the judgment that tends to be rooted in a sort of hypocrisy and a desire to dictate how other people live their lives according to your own system, that is more what we are calling out than anybody actual personal spiritual philosophy.
Deb Corr, I'm going to get your reaction to a clip we're going to play. I've got a 30-second clip from the film, the first clip that we've been provided. This is a segment. This is an outtake from A Very Sordid Wedding.
I cannot be on your anti-equality calling committee.
Sissy, you don't believe in equality, do you?
I most certainly do.
What's going on?
Sissy believes in equality now.
Well, then you don't believe the Bible, and you're not right with your maker. Jesus spoke to us. He said, no service to the gays, no cakes, no flowers, no photos, and nobody to perform the weddings. No gay marriage. Ever, ever, ever.
Let me turn to Deb Corr, master's in religion and an elder in a church, the Bluegrass United Church of Christ. And once again, a disclaimer that I'm a member of that church. And Deb is a dear friend. And so I'm so glad to welcome Deb to the studio. Your reaction, the folks in the film who are churched people are claiming that by believing in equality, they're not right with their maker.
Right.
They no longer believe in everything that they have stood for.
Right. And that's, of course, it's comedy, so it's exaggerated. It's drawn big. But I think we've confronted that here in Kentucky and not only in Kentucky. My own denomination, my own church, Bluegrass United Church of Christ, has something of a different take on these matters. We believe that if we cherry-pick scripture, we pick the part that says God is love. And that's what we believe and what we stress. And we think that we are called to be part of God's working to a more just universe. And so we don't think of church as being an hour that you check off on Sunday morning, but rather a huge part of our lives, so that we hope, and especially in bringing in a film like this, we hope that we're part of that greater work of justice.
And Deb, I know the church will have a presence at the Pride Festival. Mm-hmm. A number of other churches will be there on Saturday. What about the Bluegrass Church's involvement in sponsoring this film? Were you part of those conversations when the decision was made to bring it in? I know a church member and associate pastor, Kenny Bishop, has been involved in that, as well as Pastor Marcia Moore's Charles.
Yeah, as an elder, I was part of the discussion. We've done this in the past. We brought Southern Baptist Sissies a while back, which was a wonderful film and caused a lot of really good discussion. So we thought this was just a great way to be part of the Pride festivities and to offer this. We know we have people coming in from Cincinnati and Louisville. It's not something you can see at every Cinemax, so we wanted to give people the opportunity to get together and see something like this and maybe have some of those good discussions.
Of course, a lot of churched people, a lot of believers have difficulty with the themes behind this film and these whole the way things have moved so quickly in the last number of years, as even Dell acknowledged, you know, in the course of putting together, writing this film, the Supreme Court decision made same-sex marriage legal across the nation, which was a surprise to many people. How do you react to those who are sincere believers, believe that the Bible and that their religion forbids same-sex marriage and homosexual activity?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think that's really the central question. We've seen in the polls in the past few years, every year, every group of people, every ethnic demographic group, approval of same-sex relationships keeps creeping up. And I think it points to the importance of coming out, because people find it very easy to hate what they don't know when they come to realize, oh my goodness, that's my nephew. I'm not going to let anyone treat my nephew that way. Then people start to, sometimes literally overnight, change their minds.
Well, excuse me, and I find it really exciting because if you think about the Stonewall generation and the first round of national coming out, there was an entire group of LGBTQ people that coming out sort of inherently meant leaving your church. Mm-hmm. And I think it was particularly strong and difficult for LGBTQ people coming out in the South for that delineation. And I think it's really exciting now to see that bridge slowly being mended for LGBTQ people of faith, that there are denominations, that there are churches like yours that are welcoming and identify that, you know, literal dogmatic theology has a time and place, but if there's certain aspects that are understood within a context of when it was written and allowing for the opportunity for a church to be a welcoming place for all people, it's sort of beginning to repair the damage, I think, that was done between the church and LGBTQ people, that it's no longer one or the other for people that are looking for that home.
And there's in the movie, we partnered with Faith in America, which is a great organization, and They believe that, you know, that there are so many people who don't realize that there are churches like yours, and we need to place them. We need to find a home for them if they want that. And I love the scene that Scott Presley, a Kentucky native, plays. He's going to be at the screening tonight. He plays Roger the hairdresser, and he's standing on the outside of the church listening to the hateful rhetoric. And Ty, the character Ty, comes up with his husband, and they tell him that they're not all like this anymore. You know, he's stuck in Winters, Texas, so he didn't know. He didn't realize. And so I think the word's getting out, you know, about, and we wanted to participate in that word getting out.
And also, you know, for the damage that's been done to so many people, to poke fun at the sort of bigoted hypocrisy, because that even in that clip that you played, I love that when she says, no cakes, no flowers, no photos. You know, right after marriage equality, we saw all these court cases, Bernal Stutzman with her flower shop and this, woe is me, if I have to provide photographs or flowers or a cake for a same-sex wedding, it's going against my deeply held religious belief. Well, I'm sorry, I don't feel that you have a questionnaire when you walk in to buy a wedding cake that you ask that heterosexual couple if they are living together, if they have committed adultery. So unless you can tell me that you are just living according to your deeply held beliefs, if you have a questionnaire that ensures that they've never had premarital sex, you know, that, no, if you're treating everyone according to your faith, sure, I could buy that. But if it's really just about the fact that two people of the same sex walk through the door, you're a bigot. That's not your religion.
This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Our show is an interactive show. We encourage you to email us, send a tweet, give us a call. That phone number, 800-621-8890, Twitter at WEKUEST, the email, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. I want to acknowledge this email from Tom White, who is cantor at Faith Lutheran Church. He writes, it is important for the LGBTQ community to understand that many of the mainline denominations stand with them, as opposed to the prevailing perception that most Christians are hateful or the misguided rhetoric to love the sinner but hate the sin. For instance, is our congregation, Faith Lutheran Church, which is a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the Episcopal Diocese of Lexington, will be staffing a booth at the Pride Festival to demonstrate that support. Tom, thank you so much for that email. Glad to hear from you. We're going to continue our conversation for another half hour as we talk about this film, A Very Sordid Wedding, and not just about the film, but the issues behind it and issues of expanding or stretching the boundaries, I guess, of diversity in arts and culture. Deb Kaur, reactions to it sounds like this year's Pride Festival in Lexington is going to have more churches involved than ever before. I know there's a Roman Catholic group putting together an exhibit this year as well.
Yes, actually, this year there will be an interdenomination, not just interdenominational, but interfaith Pride service, 3:00 at the Lyric Theater on Sunday afternoon. And that is something that's never happened before. Some wonderful people, our pastor, we have rabbis, people from every faith tradition who are going to be leading this. There's going to be truly awesome music. And that's at the Lyric Theater Sunday afternoon at 3:00.
And we want to get Jay McCoy back into the conversation in a few moments here as we encourage our listeners to be part of the conversation. Del Shores and Emerson Collins of A Very Sordid Wedding. What do you think about all this? Could you have imagined 15, 20 years ago, what's happened in the religious community, in churches, in terms of their support for the LGBTQ community?
Well, we've seen the evolution, so there's a part of me that's not as surprised as I thought I would be. Does that make sense? Because I've seen so much. I think Deb hit it on the nail on the head when she said that you can't hate your nephew and his husband. You know, you can't hate your neighbor who is dog sitting for you and his gay partner. You know, that putting a face and coming out has been, I mean, in my life and in all of our lives, has been so important. And I want to say something about that email that Tom wrote, because I have been guilty myself of clumping a group into one big pile, and we cannot do that. And that's one of the things that I wanted to show in this movie, that, you know, they're not all like this. They're not all, you know, the Veras, that the woman who was heading up the anti-equality committee, you know.
And I think it goes also too, because honestly, I actually think this reaction is much more in line with the genuine Christian philosophy of the world I grew up in. You know, people who did help their neighbors that loved them. But at that time, I didn't know any LGBT people. And so that it was something that was not only not approved, it wasn't even discussed. And I think what we're seeing now is that the affirming individuals within all these denominations are getting louder than the bigots. I think for a long time, we've heard the most hateful the loudest, the people that screamed judgment were the people given the microphones. And I think the more we see that counteracted, and presence at Pride and events like that is one of the greatest things to demonstrate through action the actual philosophy of these beliefs.
I'm sorry, do you still have the protesters on the other side at your Pride?
There have been some, but the police do a really good job of keeping people on the other side of the street.
Right.
But it seems to me fewer and fewer as the years go by.
And actually, I wonder, you know, last year's Pride was just 2 weeks after the Pulse nightclub shooting. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you all have reactions to that. There has been an outpouring of love and support and concern for members of the LGBT community. And, you know, talking about gay bars and gay nightclubs has never been something you hear in the media very often. But in the course of that whole situation, that seemed to have been more normalized because of what occurred there.
Well, and funny enough, Kenny Bishop, you know, who's been a huge part of making this happen, actually showed us a photo last night of the fountain in Triangle Square that after Pulse was turned into the rainbow colors. I think that sort of support from a community at large for our individual community says a lot about the development and advancement. And I think gestures like that go a long way towards starting to heal a lot of those wounds.
Emerson Collins is here with us. I want to play this next clip that includes Emerson, if I may, Del, and then we'll come back to Del Shores and to Deb Kaur, and of course we're going to get to Jay McCoy in here. But let's play this second clip, because this is one in which Emerson is very prominent.
You know who I am.
Mm-mm. Should I? You famous? My precious, precious Tammy was famous. It was her blessing and her curse. Pills.
I'm just a lost soul roaming the highways.
Well, that's poetic. You know, I like the way you look. Rough.
Rough trade.
Rough trade.
I wish our listeners could see Emerson lip sync those lines.
It is true.
Did you write those lines?
I did not. All of the genius is Del's, but as a part of our producing and editing the film together, you know, we spend a good 5 months with our editor choosing every moment, picking every cut. I could probably stand outside while the movie plays and quote it from beginning to end and get within 15 seconds of the end of the movie.
What's the role of your character in this film? What's the purpose that it plays in moving the theme forward?
I play the bisexual necrophiliac serial killer that Del wrote for me personally. I believe that they call that typecasting. and serves a very interesting role in Brother Boy. You know, this back to the original thing about Brother Boy, this conversion therapy sort of crazy archetype from the original film. I love that because it's only a half an inch off from the lunacy of that entire concept. And so my character enters the story to help serve as a mechanism for Brother Boy's journey. He's been 17 years out of Winters, Texas, away from the family home, working at this tragic little gay bar in Longview, Texas, and sort of helps jumpstart him and realize maybe he didn't need to just be sitting in that little club where he was unhappy and move him on back towards, you know, finding his way back to his family.
Look, he needed a ride to Dallas, and what better way to get a ride than with the escaped hitchhiker murderer?
Not convoluted at all.
And Brother Boy is a drag performer.
In the original, he was just obsessed with Tammy Wynette, convinced that she had told him that it was his job to carry on her legacy out through the world. In fact, in the TV series Virgin, Tammy's daughter, Georgette Jones, played Tammy Wynette in appearing to Brother Boy. And now in the sequel, he's moved on and expanded. He's got a brand new show called We Three Queens of Operiar, where he does Tammy and Loretta and Dolly, and he's trying to take it to the masses.
We're
going to
take another short break, and we have another segment of Eastern Standard coming right up. We invite you on Thursday morning to give us a call. Questions, comments, your reactions to this discussion of a very sordid wedding. 800-621-8890 at WEKU-EST. This is Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. A very sordid wedding is having its Kentucky premiere. Our show's live on Thursday morning. For those who've tuned in on Sunday evening, you will have missed it, but you can still enjoy our conversation, of course, and carry on the conversation on our Facebook page or the website. But with us in the studio are Del Shores, writer, director, creator of the very sordid wedding movie, as well as Sordid Lives, the Sordid Lives series, and the Southern Baptist Sissies, Queer as Folk, involved with Queer as Folk, the cable TV series. Also with us, Emerson Collins, producer and actor, the hitchhiker murderer. We've learned more about his background in the last few minutes. And Jay McCoy joining us again. Jay, Lexington-based poet, visual artist with deep roots in Eastern Kentucky. And you're launching a new effort, a new bookstore, Breyer Books, formerly with Morris Books. But where's Breyer Books going that Morris never went?
Well, with Breyer sort of sprang from the ashes of Morris. When Morris was closing, we felt that there was that need in the community to continue an independent bookseller, along with the other sellers that do exist in Lexington right now, like the Wild Fig. But with Breyer, one of our definitive goals is to create a community and to especially tap into that queer experience and queer artists that are throughout Kentucky and throughout the nation with it, and especially to give a voice to the queer Appalachia, which both myself and my partner call ourselves a part of.
I mean, this sounds like, again, something that would be unthinkable not so long ago, a queer-based a book store or a business venture of this type, and openly so, not you know, in a back alley someplace where people have to know exactly where to find the business. How do you react to that, the fact that this has become more mainstream?
I think it is a thank you built upon the shoulders of so many folks that have gone before us. There's such a strong history, even in Lexington. You know, if anyone has seen the last Gospel of the Pagan Babies that played last week, which was the film of documentary of the history of queer Lexington.
Lexington native Gene Donahue involved in producing that.
Yeah.
And a long, long history, very fascinating to see what has happened in Lexington over the last 50, 60 years.
Yeah, you know, that we have, you know, such great lively characters like Sweet Evening Breeze, or, you know, the role that even Belle Breezing played in it, or Henry Faulkner, or Bradley Picklesheimer, who's back in the scene.
And one of we have a caller on the line I want to get to in just a minute, but we were talking about in the film A Very Sordid Wedding, and in the whole Sordid Lives series, Brother Boy is a drag performer. And the fact that drag artists are now, shall we say, somewhat mainstream, the whole RuPaul's drag series is something that's no longer just hidden within the LGBT community, but lots of folks are following that. Del Shores, Emerson Collins, your reactions to where that's all come from, and how you know, is this a part of the movement of mainstreaming of LGBT issues?
I think it's a part of the mainstreaming of certain aspects, particularly of queer art. You know, drag is something that has always been sort of rebellious. I think even RuPaul is sort of encountering some interesting aspects of what happens when you mainstream and open up a wider audience to respond to your art. But I love it. It was very important to me. You know, there's a scene in the movie when Brother Boy finally makes it to Dallas and performs at the Rose Room at S4, and we shot in the Real Club. It was the first gay bar I ever attended. It was the first drag show I ever saw.
Shame.
And the two performers, Cassie Nova's the drag queen and Crystal Summers the actress, were both there the first night I ever went as a 19-year-old closeted homosexual who had driven up from Baylor University. And to see on stage someone celebrating the aspects of themselves that as a skinny boy with glasses and braces in suburban Houston, Texas, that were judged, you know, that I didn't play football, that I wasn't a particular kind of masculine, to see that celebrated and tweaked in a beautiful way on a stage, that art aspect is so exciting. And I think it's great sharing it super wide, but I don't know about you, but I'd like to retain a little bit of our ownership of the direction of it.
Yeah, and in Lexington, we actually, the Wild Big Books and Coffee is actually doing I think it's pretty much monthly now, a drag story time.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I heard that like 8 of your drag personalities are going to be at the screening tonight and going to perform to Your Good Girl's Gonna Go Bad, and other homage to Tammy and Leslie. By the way, Leslie Jordan, we didn't say, plays to perfection Brother Boy in the movie, and he is back with a vengeance in this film. He has played that role since 96.
Let's get a listener involved in our conversation. Our phone number, by the way, 800-621-8890. If you have a question, a comment, a personal story from whatever direction you're coming from, let's talk to Elijah from Lexington. Elijah, thank you so much for calling. You are on the air. Go right ahead.
My pleasure. Hi, everybody. I had read, sir, the Bible. I had read the Torah. I read the Saint of Buddha, Confucius. Why those holy books object? What are you trying to discuss? Could somebody answer that question for me,
and
please?
I think we may need to bring Deb Kaur back over to the microphone here. And Deb, I don't know if you could hear Elijah's question. We're limited in the number of microphones and headsets in the studio here, but Elijah asking the question, why do the holy books of religion condemn homosexuality?
Well, they don't, actually. There's so little, if you look at the length and breadth of the Bible. There are a handful of verses that some people do choose to point at and underscore. Sometimes I get the impression that's the only part of the Bible they've ever really looked at. And they'll choose those, but then they'll overlook the bulk of the Bible. I think there are well over 200 verses in the Bible that talk about being kind to foreigners and aliens. And I don't hear people quoting those quite so often.
I mean, the story, and you talk about that theme, Deb, the issue of Sodom and Gomorrah. Talk mm-hmm. about the meaning as you understand it. And again, I will acknowledge I'm a member of the Bluegrass United Church of Christ. I know Deb Kaur. I kind of know where she's coming from here. But the meaning of Sodom and Gomorrah, which people use as a biblical text to condemn homosexuality.
Well, Sodom and Gomorrah is a really strange little story. And there's all kinds of very peculiar things going on in that story. But basically, it's a story about the failure not anything about homosexuality, but a failure of being friendly and kind to aliens who are coming through. And it's in that way that the Israelites who are unkind are being condemned.
Let me ask Del Shores and Emerson Collins. We talk, we've had this history, and was the ABC TV series When We Rise
yes.
is on the history
yes.
of yeah. gay Dustin rights in this country. Are we coming to a point, and can we get to a point where LGBT persons are accepted and that we can move on to other issues? We talk about accepting the stranger. We think of so many other political issues that are out there regarding immigration and so forth. How can we move forward with the LGBT community, getting away from focusing on itself and its own rights and taking it into a higher level of service?
Well, I certainly think that we're seeing that. I am a dad. I have two daughters, and my youngest daughter Caroline, when Prop 8 passed, she was very very upset about it. A little gay activist, and then she, after a couple of weeks, she thought about it and she said, "Dad, look at my generation." She said, "There are very few." And you know, and there are those still in any generations, like we see in racism. But she said, "But all of those people who voted against you, Dad, they're all going to die." I mean, that was her take on it. And I think that is what has happened. Bigotry, racism. We're seeing, you know, when somebody told last night, I was telling me about their grandmother who said some horrific things. She's 98 years old. Well, she's going to take those horrific things, you know, to the grave with her. And I feel like that generation is taking care. And then we're seeing within our generations that evolution that we've been talking about with the people like Latrell and Sissy in the movie.
Well, and I think it's also really important to remember that if your activism only extends as far as your personal rights, it's not activism, it's self-interest. And within the LGBTQ community, you know, you look at the intersection of how many other communities that that impacts immigrants, particularly people of color. When you look at the most marginalized or trans women of color, fighting for LGBTQ rights includes fighting for the rights so that, that Black Lives Matter is talking about, that immigrant organizations are talking about. That there's no way to fight unless you have the privilege of being a queer white person, you know, a whole number of a queer white male, frankly, because women's issues, it's all tied together. I think it's if you're not fighting for equality to extend to everyone in every aspect, then we're not doing it right.
And Jay McCoy, a native of Eastern Kentucky, where is all of this relevant to our listeners in Hazard and Corbin and Pineville and Harlan and the coal mining communities of Kentucky where these have not been issues in the forefront in the past? Are these areas changing? Are people's views on LGBTQ issues changing even in some of these communities?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And it's I would point to Moorhead in Little Rowan County, the home of Kim Davis, that Rowan County Pride organization has become a major force in putting a spotlight on that there are queer people in your community in Eastern Kentucky, whether you know it or not, and it's becoming more more acceptable within the community to be out and proud with it. And for an example, we had a group that we put together 2 years ago, a production called Out, that was the coming out stories for every letter of the LGBTQ alphabet. And we performed that here in Lexington at the Carnegie Center. And then just this year, we did a production called Further Out, which was a continuation of that. And one of the things that we did with it was actually perform that not only at the Carnegie Center in Lexington, but we were also at Moorhead and did that as part of Rowan County Pride as an outreach with that. And then if you look at Briar Books, we will be part of our mission is to do pop-up stores, especially throughout Eastern Kentucky, where there may not be an existing independent bookstore, and bring those not only, you know, your bestsellers and things like that, but also your queer lit and some other areas.
Well, years ago when we did the movie, and I'd worked with this actor before, William Edward Phipps, he's now 91 years old. He said something to me, and he said, keep doing what you're doing, because to be exposed is to be understood. And I love that quote. It always stuck with me, because what you're doing and what Deb and the church is doing, what y'all are doing, it's exposing us, and then we are understood because people see.
Well, and we hear a lot, you know, just in my time with Dell here, as we travel with this movie and we travel with Sordid Lives, we often hear people, particularly queer people, say, you know, this is my family. Many people use the original Sordid Lives film to come out to their families. You know, we travel a lot, and I sort of represent a kind of person who moved up and out of a community where they didn't feel welcome to somewhere else. But I find that our greatest applause is for people like you who do what you do, who stay, you know, where you are, who change the community around you, and to take that into smaller and smaller places and continue to do that exposure. To me, that's the most important work that gets done. It's you walking in somewhere and saying, I am proudly represent mm-hmm. this and here. And not only that, we have great art to offer you. And look, this is your neighbor from down the holler, you know, rather than somebody seeing something on TV. Yeah.
Emerson Collins, Del Shores, Sordid Lives, the Sordid Lives TV series, A Very Sordid Wedding, very much fall within that realm we've talked about being a cult, having a cult following. Certainly Sordid Lives was very much seen as a cult film. Where would you like to see it break out of that and become more mainstream? Where would you like to be doing things that are more mainstream and seen beyond? Because cult means a small following.
Well, and yes, and we'll take it. You know, I'm grateful for that cult rabid following that I have. But that following has also shared this movie with a lot of people and their families and beyond. So when I do stand up, I'm always amazed at how many people come to my shows that are they're just allies, because someone has said, this is my family, this is Sordid Lives, and then they go, well, it's mine too. So they see themselves in that. So yes, of course, we will always want to be more mainstream, but sometimes, you know, the choir needs a little preaching too. So, and I'm glad to do that.
Well, and it also represents, you know, we see a lot more queer representation in culture, but it's often that thing where the big budgets go to straight allies with straight actor, you know, the genuine community support and opportunity for specifically queer filmmakers and queer artists to tell our own stories is important. It's why that actually, that When We Rise miniseries was such a huge deal, to have Dustin Lance Black create that and ABC devote 8 hours of television to that. That was historic for mainstream representation of telling our own stories.
I was in a conversation with someone mentioning this film, and they said, oh, I don't think I want to see it because I loved Sordid Lives so much. I don't like sequels. I don't want my feelings about Sordid Lives to be damaged by it. What kind of reaction are you getting from people?
Amazing reaction, and a lot of people who had reservations. So I just challenge anybody who's worried about it, go to RottenTomatoes.com and read the 98%. It is higher rated than Sordid Lives and any of my films, and the comments, almost, I would say 50% said, I didn't expect it to be better than the original. So I don't know.
I will say, because I wasn't involved in making the original, you know, there is always that fear. 17 years later, people love it so much that anything is going to be a failure, you know, because it's just different in any way. And we've now opened in 16 cities with 15 sold-out premiere events, and universally across the board, the response has been that he and these actors have been so faithful to the original and yet moved them on and expanded them and opened the world even further. So I guarantee you, if you're a fan of the original, you will love this new film.
I'm sorry. One last thing is, I wanted desperately with the Sordid Lives franchise and the family, to do it again, because the series was well received, the first movie, the stage play, and you go, okay, am I going to go out with something that I can't get behind? And so I wasn't even willing to tell this story unless I could tell it with a fresh point of view and to show the evolution of these characters. And I think that's what people are reacting to.
Del Shores, thank you so much for being here with us. Del is writer, director, creator of the Sordid Lives, a very sordid wedding involved with Queer as Folk, Southern Baptist Sissies. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Lexington for the premiere.
We are here tonight,
7 o'clock at the Kentucky Theater. Only walk-up tickets available.
Emerson Collins, look out. Watch when you see the film. Look for the hitchhiker killer in the film. And Jay McCoy, thank you so much. Your new venture, all the best with Briar Books.
Thank you.
Deb Kaur, elder at Bluegrass United Church of Christ, thank you so much for being here, my friend. Eastern Standard is produced by WEKU at Eastern Kentucky University. Our associate producers are Devonic Ains, Julia Dake, and Zach Redding. We remind you that the program will be available as a podcast or for audio for online listening at weku.fm, and the show repeats on Sunday evenings at 6. Send us an email with your questions, your comments, your recommendations for future topics, weku.easternstandard@gmail.com. Thanks to Roger Duvall for being at the controls for this week's show. I'm John Hingsbergen for WEKU.